to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26 and verses 19 through 21. Isaiah chapter 26 and verses 19 through 21. Now, this morning, I really just want to lay out the scriptural foundation for prophecy, basically the rapture and then the following tribulation. I want to lay that out this morning. And then tonight, we want to look at things in current events as well as the Word of God that starts showing us that this rapture may be very soon. And so I want you to be back tonight here at 6 o'clock. We'll look tonight probably some things to do with Israel and the United States. Have you ever thought about the United States? Is it in prophecy or not? What are some possibilities? So don't miss out tonight as we address that subject. Now, Isaiah chapter 26, verses 19 through 21. Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body, shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Now shall we pray. Father, I pray as we look to your word at this time, I pray that you'd help me to make it clear. Lord, I realize that I cannot give understanding. It has to be thy Holy Spirit. But I just pray that hearts would be open to the speaking of thy Spirit through the word this morning. If there's one in this auditorium that does not know that if they died today, that heaven's their home, I pray that today would be the day they come to Christ. I pray whatever spiritual need there is in this place, that it be met at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember my dad speaking about his dad believing that the Lord would come in his lifetime. His father died in the 1950s. I can remember growing up in his home, in the pastor's home, and hearing dad preach on the second coming of Christ and the rapture and the signs of the time and thinking, I wonder if I'm ever going to grow up to being an adult. And some people still wonder that, okay, but I can remember wondering that. And then, as I've studied this subject more and more, I find myself saying, oh, it's got to be very soon. And you know, in doing that, I also look and I see in the Scriptures one of the prophecies that we see going around all about us today. And that is, where is the promise of His coming? All things are continuing as they were. And there are mockers. And the Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 3 that in the last days there would be mockers saying, well, where is the promise of His coming? I don't see it. All these things are happening. He's not showing up yet. Where is the promise of His coming? And they would mock that. I was born in 1949. I look good, don't I? As I see the progression of life since then, I find that there's much more that tells me Jesus is coming soon. There's nothing that needs to happen in order for the rapture to take place. The long suffering of Christ has continued in this age. And it's His long suffering is the only reason I believe that He hasn't come as of yet in the rapture. But we must understand the day of the Lord will come. And that's the purpose of this series, to help you to understand why I say that. as we look into our text, it's addressed to Israel. But I want you to see something here. In verse 19, he says, the dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. The book of Isaiah was talking about judgments concerning Israel. It mentioned how Israel would soon fall as a country, and they would lose their kingdom, and they would. But he also addressed coming judgments, things that would happen to Israel in the days, the months, the years, but then in eternity as well. At the end of this age. And so both the present and the end of the days are included. And you'll notice the earth will also cast out their dead. And it goes along with the fact that he says, my dead body. And that's speaking of Isaiah. Isaiah's talking about his own dead body, and Isaiah is saying, an Old Testament saint, that there's going to come a day when he and all of those that are in the Lord are going to be caught up to be with the Lord. This finds its counterpart in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, when it speaks of the New Testament saints being caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And so here they are, caught up into where? The chambers of God. And you'll notice the last five words of verse 20. Until the indignation be overpassed. Now, follow along. He says in verse 19 about the resurrection, even his own body, an Old Testament saint. Following that is what? The indignation. What is the indignation? That is the tribulation period. And so, we find that there's going to be a resurrection, a rapture before the tribulation of both Old and New Testament saints. That's why Ephesians speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as the cornerstone that brings the two walls, the Old Testament, the New Testament saint together. That's why we read Jesus Christ said that he would be one shepherd and he would make one fold. That's why the book of Hebrews says that they of the Old Testament without us are not complete. So the next thing to happen is the rapture. The dead in Christ shall rise first. 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 54 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And if you're saved, so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a blessing that is. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 17, he says that we'll be caught up together. Now, it's interesting. Today, some people say the word rapture is not in the Bible. Therefore, you're teaching wrong if you believe in the rapture. Now, usually what I want to say to them is, you mean there's never going to be a heaven? Nobody's ever going to go to heaven? Oh, yes, people will go to heaven. When's that going to be? Well, at the end. But how do they get to heaven? They're going to be raptured. So they believe in a rapture. They just don't believe at the right time. The next thing to happen is the rapture. Now, the words caught up in 1 Thessalonians 4, 17 is from the Greek word harpazo. It's the idea of being suddenly seized or snatched. The connotation is very instantaneous. When scriptures were translated into Latin, the Latin used the word raptus for this Greek word. The English word rapture comes from the Latin word raptus. So basically, caught up. If somebody has a problem with the word rapture, they can say, well, then I'm waiting for the harpazo. I'm waiting for the caught up. Whatever, it means the same exact thing as the word rapture. And simply put, the next event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture. Saved, whether you're dead or alive, is what you're looking to next, is the rapture. And it could happen today. And you'll notice in verse 21 of our text, it says, "The Lord cometh out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth." Why? He says there, "for their iniquity." But before He punishes the earth for their iniquity, what happens? Verse 19, the dead are caught up into His chambers, and we are with the Lord. Before the tribulation starts. We will not go through part of it. Some are today teaching, well, there's a part of the tribulation in which Satan pours out his wrath, and then God comes and pours out His wrath. We believe in a pre-wrath rapture. That is, that we'll, before God pours out His wrath, we'll be caught up, but not when Satan's pouring out his wrath. Listen, Satan has been pouring out his wrath since his fall. Now, this time of the tribulation is referred to as the day of the Lord in the Bible. The day of the Lord actually lasts for 1,007 years. The first 7 years of the day of the Lord will be the tribulation period. The tribulation period is a period of 7 years divided in the middle by what is called the abomination of desolation. There's going to be a temple built in Jerusalem. It'll be built, and it'll be there at the beginning of the tribulation period. There'll be the daily sacrifice will be reinstituted. They'll be doing things there in the temple. And in the middle of this tribulation period, there's going to be a world leader that rises up who's made this covenant with Israel, and he'll go into the temple and set up an image of himself. And no one can buy or sell unless they have this world leader's mark, 666. And on top of that, if you will not bow down and worship this image, you shall be put to death. You say, what do you mean, you? If you're without Christ, you're left behind at the rapture. And these are some of the things that are facing you. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation are called the tribulation. The second half of the tribulation is called the great tribulation. It's during this time over half the world's population will die. Many in Israel will speak of the day of the Lord coming. In Amos 5:18, the Lord says, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light." Why is it woe to them? Because they are not saved. And for the unsaved, the day is not light, it is darkness. And in that very passage, God goes on to tell them of their corrupted worship. In that passage, isn't it interesting? And we'll see this down the road, that Israel fell when their worship was corrupted and it lost its country. And the Bible will tell us that when worship is corrupted in the last days, that'll precede the coming of the Lord. And we see it happening before our very eyes. Understand that the day does not begin with the rapture. That is, the tribulation will not begin with the rapture. Some think, well, if we're raptured today, immediately the tribulation starts. Not necessarily. The tribulation will start when a covenant is signed by the world leader, the Antichrist, the beast, or whatever you want to call him. When that is signed with Israel, once that covenant is signed, that will start the tribulation period. That could be the day that we're raptured. It could be a year after we're raptured. We don't know. I don't think it'll be long. But it doesn't start with the rapture. But we do know the rapture happens before the tribulation starts, because the Lord's going to take us out from that. Now remember, the text said that we're taken to his chambers before the indignation. Now you're in the book of Isaiah. If you turn over to the book of Daniel, you're Isaiah. The next book is Jeremiah. I think it's 52 chapters. And then Lamentations is 5 chapters. Ezekiel is 48 chapters. And then Daniel. And then Daniel chapter 9. And verses 24 through 27 speak of these end times. Now, it speaks of a covenant in verse 27 that will be made for 1 week. But in the passage, it speaks of 70 weeks. Those weeks are 1 day equals a year. So when you have 1 week, it equals 7 years. Now, with that said, let me read from Daniel 9, verses 24 through 26. 70 weeks. Well, what is 70 times 7? 490 years. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people, the prince that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Well, Isaiah is writing and he's talking about Israel, Jerusalem, when it falls. Now, Jerusalem is not in captivity yet. They've not gone into the Babylonian captivity. And this prediction of 70 weeks starts after the Babylonian captivity. And he says that it's for 70 weeks. In 445 B.C., the 70-week period started when Artaxerxes gave the commandment to rebuild. Now, understand that there is reconciliation to be made on the 70th week. We're not there yet, and we'll say why in a few minutes, but why is that reconciliation for? It is for iniquity, the same as in our text in verse 21. The commandment to build would be 7 weeks or 49 years. They did that. But then that leaves, after the 7 weeks, that leaves another 62 weeks. That's 434 years. And at the end of 434 years, Messiah would be cut off. That's Jesus on the cross. Now understand, Isaiah wrote 700 years before the cross. And he says, Messiah will be cut off. He gave a timeline and it happened the way he said it would happen. And then after that, within a generation, a prince would come. Who was that prince to come? It was the Roman general Titus. And he leveled Jerusalem with a flood. It said blood even flowed in streams in the city. And it happened exactly the way the Bible said it would. But then you come to verse 27 of Daniel 9, and it says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overseeing of the abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. What does he mean by that? Simply, he means this. There is a period between the 69th and 70th week. What is that period? That's the period you and I are living in. It's the church age. But then, Things are going to go back towards Israel. And the thing that starts that 70th week is when he confirms this covenant with Israel for 1 week, 7 days, or 7 years. And in the middle of that week, he sets up the abomination of desolation, which Jesus referred to in Matthew 24, as well as in Daniel chapter 12. And following that setting up of that image, there will be 1,260 days or 40 and 2 months, the Bible says. And so there's 3.5 years of tribulation, and that's followed with 3.5 years of great tribulation. And that is during the last week, the last 7 years before Jesus comes. We have been raptured out before that 7 week starts, or that last week starts. You're in the book of Daniel. The very next book is the book of Hosea. We want to go to chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. I want to show you something else. Now, we saw that for a year equals a day, or day equals a year, should I say. And from the time that Artaxerxes gave that commandment till Messiah was cut off, came out exactly the way it said it would. And then after that, within a generation, Titus, the Roman general, comes in and destroys Jerusalem. Then there's a period of time between the 69th and 70th week. Sometimes we wonder, how much time is there? Hosea chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. When were they torn? When were they smitten? Well, that was back in A.D. 70. When will he revive us? After 2 days. Now, we know it's not literal 24-hour days as creation was. But we also know that it's not a year and a day, because they were not raised up 2 years after A.D. 70. So what could it be? I believe the Scriptures provide an answer. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 4, it says, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. 1,000 years is as a day is as 1,000 years with God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, I mentioned to you earlier about in the last days there will be mockers, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Verse 8 says, a day that in the sight of the Lord, 1 day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as 1 day. And then he goes on to say, but the day of the Lord will come. So in the very middle of a prophetic passage, in 2 Peter chapter 3, nearly a whole chapter on prophecy, he says right in the middle of it, 1 day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is 1 day. What does that mean? Hosea said, after 2 days, a day is 1,000 years, he will revive us. It's been nearly 2 days since Israel was leveled in Jerusalem. We find in Ezekiel chapter 37, it speaks of the valley of dry bones, those bones coming back together. And then there's flesh upon them. And there's full bodies laying there in the valley, but there's no breath in them. And it's a picture of Israel being regathered, but in unbelief. At the end of the 7 years, the Lord comes back, and those bodies have breath in them, showing that the Lord giving them his life. But gathered together in the last days, but in unbelief. And we see that before our very eyes happening. Now, some people look at 1948 as when Israel come back into the land, as that prophecy. However, if you go back to the year 1777, hey, what's that, a big year around America, 1776? In the year 1777, a group of Jews from Russia made a trek back into Israel to set up housekeeping, you might say, and to enter the land. From 1777 on, Jews have trickled in. But as 1948 got near and they come into the land, then a lot of them come in. However, since the Bible deals with the destruction of Jerusalem, I think that the day that it really refers to is 1967, when the Jews are back in Jerusalem. And so we see them there. And I'm saying all that just to say this, I believe the time is close. But from whence is this Antichrist? Where is his rule? Well, Daniel chapter 2, I believe, gave us the answer to that. If you remember, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has a dream. He doesn't know the answer to the dream, what it means. God gives the interpretation, the dream, and everything to Daniel to tell the king. This image that Nebuchadnezzar dreams about has a head of gold, and Nebuchadnezzar is told that he's that head of gold. It has the arms and breast of silver, and that would represent the Medo-Persian Empire to follow. It has the belly and thighs of brass, and that would be the Grecian Empire to follow it. And then it had the legs of iron, and that would be the Roman Empire that would finally follow it. Now, liberal theologians used to make fun of that prophecy. They said, Daniel lived between 100 and 1 B.C. It wasn't a prophecy, it was a history. But isn't it interesting how the Lord works, even uses the devil's things against the devil? They found the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls are not the right text. They're not the Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text from which you got your Bible. They're actually corrupted texts. However, the age of those texts were such to prove that Daniel wrote prophecy instead of history. That's the blessing of finding those Dead Sea Scrolls. But Daniel's image also had feet of part iron and part clay. And we've gone through the head of gold, the silver, the brass, and the iron. But we've not yet hit the age of part iron and part clay. Clay represents people. We're made of clay. The iron, being that it is iron, which referred to Rome, is a revival of that area of the old Roman Empire. And in that it's iron, the metals represented the governments of those nations. And so, here you have feet and toes that are part iron and part clay, showing that the people rule with them. When you have people trying to rule, you have anarchy. The idea of the iron in it is that in many areas, there is that strong hand, and yet, because of the clay, there is lawlessness, which the Bible predicts of the last days. We're being told that the Antichrist will come from an area of the old Roman Empire. We also know that the tribulation is called the time of Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7. Therefore, the tribulation centers around Israel. In other words, the Middle East will have the world's attention at the time of the end. We couldn't say that in World War I. We could not say that in World War II. We could not say that in Korea. We could not say that in Vietnam. But today, the Middle East has the attention of all the world. Is the time near? Do we know the date? Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 33 through 36, that we can know when it is near, even at the doors, but of the day and hour knoweth no man, not even the angels of heaven. You have somebody gets up and starts preaching, Jesus is coming back on such and such a date. They don't know the Bible. Don't trust them. However, the Bible does let us know that we can know when it's near. One of the images the Bible uses is that of an expectant mother. You know when her time is near, though you may not know the day nor the hour. You know when the time is near. And friend, there are things from God's Word that tells us the time is near. What about America? Do we figure in? Are there other signs that point to this rapture? What's going on in the Middle East today? What about China? What makes us think that this time is near? Well, those are thought-provoking subjects that we're going to get into. But you know, it comes down today, right now, asking, are there contradictions from what the Bible says? Amos 5:18 warned those who desired the day of the Lord. And yet Jesus, when he is here, said, pray, thy kingdom come. Amos says, woe to you that pray for the day of the Lord, and yet John the Apostle in the last book of the Bible says, even so come, Lord Jesus. Makes you wonder, are there contradictions? Oh, no. For the saved, it's a time that we'll be with the Lord forever. But for those without Christ Jesus, they're getting ready to enter 7 years. That'll be the worst 7 years of world's history. For the Christian, he's caught up. Some Christians, 1 John 2:28 says, will have confidence at his appearing. Others will be ashamed at his appearing, saved so as by fire. And it's interesting. I was reading some theologians what they thought on that passage, and they said, because we have crowns. Those without crowns, those saved so as by fire, those who did not abide faithful in their call, will be caught up to be with the Lord in heaven, but when they come back with Jesus to rule and reign, they won't be coming with Him. Oh, the shame of not being able to rule and reign with Christ. Saved so as by fire. That makes you, if you're a Christian here today, to ask you, what will you have to lay at Jesus' feet? What will you have to show that proved your faithfulness? Do you know that if the rapture took place today, that you would not be ashamed at His appearing? But on the other hand, if you're not sure that if you die today, that heaven's your home. Last year we spent time in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And it mentioned that there are those that will hear in the day that you and I live. They'll hear the gospel. They'll hear the way of salvation. They'll have an opportunity to be saved, and they'll pass it up. The rapture will take place. They're left behind. Because they had a chance to be saved, they passed it up. God will send them strong delusion, and they'll believe the lie of the devil. Now, you think about this. The Old Testament, the New Testament teaches a rapture. We showed you from the Old Testament how that it was predicted how these things would unfold from the rebuilding of Jerusalem till Messiah was cut off. Exactly. We're also told that over 300 Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled when Jesus came the first time. Therefore, for you to play Russian roulette with your soul knowing that Jesus could come back at any time, is the most foolish thing that you could do. It'd be more foolish than taking drugs. It'd be more foolish than getting drunk, is to know that you're headed to hell, or you're not sure if you're headed to heaven or to hell, and to pass up the opportunity to be saved. God loves you and He wants to save you, but you must come to Him. Won't you do that today? Let's bow our heads. Father, we've tried to preach a word just as it is to men as they are. And Lord, when we think of such a vast subject that occupies so much of the Word of God, to give a general overview in a short time like this, Thy Holy Spirit has to make the difference, and I pray that He has. I think of those that have raised their hands and said, I don't know that if I died today that heaven's my home. I pray that those souls would come. And let us open the Scriptures and show them how they can know that they died today, that heaven's their home. For Christians, Lord, that if you were to rapture today, or if they continued on in the present course of their way of living, would have nothing to lay at your feet and would be saved so as by fire. I pray that today be the day of rededication. And would ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.